141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the build-up to the weekend picks up pace. Celtic have been linked with Liam Kelly, with Stuart Kettlewell unsurprised there's interest in his keeper. Rangers reportedly closing in on a new defender in Jose Cordoba ahead of the big game on Saturday. And Brentford boss Thomas Frank says Aaron Hickey's Euro chances are not positive. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Well, it's huge, 48 hours to go, and we built up the last one to be the biggest one in some time, and this has overtaken it purely because the teams have continued to show progress, and the title race is so tight. It's going to come down to Saturday. If Celtic win, you can't see them slipping up. If Rangers manage to pull off a victory for the first time in a long time at Celtic Park, then it's going to go down to the last two games. You could not think of a better end to this season than we're getting at the minute.
Oh, looking forward to it like everybody else. Everybody you meet in the street, all they want to talk about is this massive game at 12:30 at Celtic Park. And I think everybody's just, you know, there's a lot of talking being done between the two camps. You're looking at the two teams. Who's the favourites? Obviously Celtic at home. Well, if Celtic win, will they win the league? Is that it over and done by? Rangers need to go to Celtic Park and get a win. It's ramped up to absolutely a brilliant game of football for me again.
Yes, the build-up very much on is award season. That's been ongoing, bubbling away in various forms over the last couple of weeks. The shortlist for the Scottish Football Writers Association Manager of the Year is out. I think you might be interested in that list. Tony Docherty, John McGlynn and Derek McInnes, just like they were on the PFA list. And also Philippe Clement, of course, an interesting one. We don't quite know how the season will end for Rangers. I know there's been lot of discussion about whether the Rangers or Celtic manager could really be in that discussion given the way the season's still to be decided. But there you are, Philippe Clement does make the shortlist for Manager of the Year according to the Football Writers, along with Tony Docherty, John McGlynn and Derek McInnes. What do you make of that? Pick up the phone, please. 01419511025. I've actually got some like signing news. Is not quite right, probably speculation reports at the moment. Motherwell goalkeeper Liam Kelly linked with a move to Celtic, and Stuart Kettlewell spoke about that today. So Celtic fans, I wonder if that's a player you think you should go for or not. And then generally, what does the goalkeeping position look like going into this summer? Jose Cordoba, Rangers fans, you might not know loads, but it does look like you're closing in on a new defender there, as well as Philippe Clement looks to bolster our plan for next season, irrespective of how this one ends. A bit of bad news, or seemingly bad news, just before we came on air, it became clear Thomas Frank, the Brentford manager, says not looking good for Aaron Hickey for the Euros. I think most people thought he maybe would make it. Thomas Frank saying that's not necessarily the case. Nathan Patterson's out. So what does that mean? Mark Wilson, how's the fitness?
I've been limbering
still
up.
Good,
yeah.
It's good.
When you say a bit of bad news there, I did fear the worst. I thought you were going to say somebody passed away, the way you framed that there, and well, we hadn't read about it.
Just the tone.
It's a Thursday night.
But it's just the way you framed it there. It's been a bit of bad news. It's just before we come on.
It's still bad news. Right, it might not be as bad as a death, but it's still bad news.
Yeah. Well, I see it as better news than what I thought it was. Oh. It's a shame. Yeah.
Right, so hold
all
on.
Of a sudden, so it's positive. It's
nobody's
positive.
Nobody's passed nobody's away, and alive. Therefore, Aaron Hickey's injury is not that bad.
We've not missed a steak pie or a chicken.
That's the sort of insight we're looking for. Anyway, 01419511025. At this stage in the week, Mark Wilson, were you sort of chomping at the bit to just forget all the build up and get out and play? Or
Yeah. Because there's been so much pinned in this game, but you know, I sympathise with the players in that respect, that you know, you're just wanting kickoff time to come at 12:30 on Saturday morning. I mean, there's only so much preparation you can do. The teams know each other inside out by now. Individually, they'll know each other, who they've come up against. The managers might be, you know, some decisions that'll be made maybe tomorrow, but on the whole, I think everybody will know which sides will take to the field. So for the players, it's just this anxious wait, waiting for the kickoff. And there's so much riding on it as well. So the pressure on each team's shoulders, each player's shoulders, is huge this time round. There is no recovery from losing this game, really. I suppose you can edge a wee bit towards Celtic. If they lose the game, then they're still in an okay position. However, what does a defeat do for your mentality going into the remaining games?
Heading to Kilmarnock.
Of course. And of course, if you're a Rangers player, if you lose, you know the title's probably away. So huge pressure.
Pressure, one of the key words of Old Firm Week, Gordon, and this one would be even more relevant than normal.
It's the greatest pressure you can have, Gordon. Every player concerned with both squads will want to take that pitch at the weekend. When you get out there, you've got to deliver, because that's when the pressure really does kick in. The atmosphere will be cranked up. The importance of the game is enormous. We all know that. And if we get anything like the last one, we're in for a treat.
Let's bring in Ian, who's a Rangers fan in Gdansk in Poland. How's it going, Ian?
Not too bad. Yourself, how you doing, guys?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight then, Ian? How does it feel with 2 days to go? What's the mood?
Oh, well, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting. It's difficult to be too optimistic considering, you know, it's been a while since Rangers got a decent result at Parkhead, but you never know. They've got to go and they've really just got to give it their all. What more can they do? You know, and I just hope they go in with the right attitude. And you never know, maybe I think if they're on their day, I think they're perfectly capable of it. But, you know, time will tell.
So hope rather than expectation, or is that still underselling it a bit?
I think as a Rangers fan, you're always going to expect your team, even, you know, if there's a slight disadvantage, history would say, you know, going away from home, especially the record isn't great. But, you know, we're Rangers and you've got to be optimistic. I think we can. I don't see why we can. Obviously, there's the goal difference as well, which you've got to be thinking about. So hopefully, maybe a two goal, maybe beat them 2-0 or something, that would set us up in good stead.
Where does the optimism come from then? Where are you finding it?
Well, they call them as serial losers. So what if I was to say that Celtic were last day bottlers? I mean, they might have won 10 out of 11 titles, but how many of them were Rangers in the league for a start? And those which featured Rangers, how many went down to the last day? It was always, you know, done and dusted like early doors. And I've just been doing a digging, sort of history wise. Rangers have won the title on the last day four times and since I think 2002-2003 when they won it by a single goal when they beat Dunfermline 6-1 Celtic won the way at Killy, but it didn't matter. And then there was 2004-05 when Rangers beat Hibs. Motherwell came back from 1-0 down to win 2-1. That was a single point. Then there was 2008-2009 when Rangers beat Dundee United away. Celtic drew against Hearts, and that was a 4-point. But again, that went down to the wire. And then there was when Rangers beat Killy away, and Celtic won at home against Motherwell, and that was a point. You know, so that's really my point. You know, these are when it went down to the wire. So what were your thoughts, guys? I mean,
Do you think that's relevant when like none of the players there are? Or you know, none of the players that went through that are there anymore. I think that's real. Because I take your point. Yours was in response to this notion that Rangers are serial bottlers, and I'm not getting involved whether that's accurate or not. But what that refers to is players like James Tavernier, Conor Goldson, Borna Barisic, and this idea, rightly or wrongly, that they've been there for a number of seasons that have ended unsuccessfully. The fact that Celtic lost the title in the last season 15 years ago or 12 years ago or 9 years ago, does that play any part, do you think?
I don't know. It's just a thought. It's obviously been a long time. It doesn't happen very often when it goes down to the last day. It makes it really exciting, obviously. But I don't know. It just makes you feel quite optimistic that Rangers have a good record when it goes down to the last day. So rightly or wrongly, like you're saying with the facts, these are different time. You know, it wasn't consecutive seasons as well. Those four instances, there were very different squads as well when you think about
what's gone before. I don't think we'll play any part at all at the weekend. I think the only thing that you can look at is Celtic fans' confidence because of recent results and the way Celtic go about their business. They're at home as well. I've never, outside Rangers fans, it's a long while since, when I'm speaking to people, Celtic are, in their minds, huge favourites to win the game. But you look at Rangers, a Rangers team that were very good as underdogs going away in Europe. But this is all about here and now, and it's all about the weekend, who stands up, could go down to a terrific piece of skill, it could go down to a bit of bad luck, it could go down to a bit of a bad decision or a wonder goal or whatever. I think if we've got anything like the last one, the 3-3, I think we'll have a great spectacle there, football game, and I'm hoping that. I think it'll be brilliant, and I think it's up to the two teams to go out there, go on the front foot, go toe-to-toe, and may the best team win. And I think that's what'll happen. You can talk about all the past and what happened in decisions or referees or Celtic bottled or Rangers done this or whatever it may be. It's all about in the next 2 days. It's all at 12:30, Celtic Park, and it's a case of who's going to go out and be.
I think you're right, Gordon, when how you highlight the players that are there just now for both sides, and that's probably more accurate than what's been in the past, because it, just when Ian's saying about all those years there, I think I was involved in three or four of them in that
funny
time.
That.
No, like, well, one of them we won the last day, then the following year we lost it in the last day. So there's not much relevance. There's not anybody attached there. Maybe John Kennedy is still involved from that time. But I would probably.
So John Kennedy's scarred from losing league titles, so
terrified.
But
I think the big games that both have came together in recent times is more where you want to be concentrated on, and the games that really matter for the teams to win, whether that be semi-finals or cup finals, or this one that's been pinned as a league decider. Who's been there? Who's done it? Who's stood up in those days? And you've got to be honest, over the whole, it's been the Celtic players, guys who have been there, James Forrest and Callum McGregor, of course, have been there over all those years. But in the last couple of years, where there's this been a kind of, people thought there was a resurgence from Rangers and so many false dawns, that's been a lot of the same players that have failed. So this is their chance to do something.
Seem to be boring about it though, because I know we like all that sort of stuff. Is it just been the case though that Celtic have been the better team by and large over the last period, you know, rather than some magic title winning power that players do or don't have?
Well, Celtic,
you know, the fact, because Tavernier's always the one that comes up, the fact that he's not won that many trophies is the real reason being that Celtic have always been better than Rangers in his time there.
Yeah, well, Tavernier can't do it himself. There's been 10 other players that have maybe been, or a group of players that have been technically and collectively poorer than Celtic. You're totally right with that. When you look through, I said at the start of this season, when we were given our predictions, who would win the league, and I thought it was going to Celtic because the group of players have got were better than Rangers. And even when players were injured, I always thought when Celtic got their starting 11 back, they were still better than Rangers. And I hold that opinion just now. And that has been the case for a number of years. But I do think when it gets to the big games, you still have to have the mentality to manage those games. And Celtic have no doubt done that better over the past 2 or 3 years when the tournament came together.
Thank you to Ian. Let's squeeze one more and we'll make it a quick one before the travel if we can. James, how's it going?
How you doing, my friend? How you doing, guy?
All good. What are you thinking of Rangers' chances this weekend then? Ian was kind of optimistic. How are you feeling?
Zero. Zero chance.
Zero chance? Why?
Zero chance. Well, it's Wally Collins. Wally Collins, a referee. Right.
So you'll not be watching it then, just forget about it. You know the outcome, you'll not be bothering then.
Well, I haven't been to many of these games, especially with Willie Colum as a referee, we're up against it, put it that way. And also I know for a fact David McGeechie's a Celtic fan. And we know Don Robertson's a Celtic fan, so we're up against it.
Wow.
We're up against it, guys. And this is a two finger salute to Rangers putting Willie Colum as a referee for this. We had Willie Colum 2 years ago, when Rangers were going for the European trophy in a vital game at Ibrox, and Wally Collum was appointed referee for that game as well. He's their go-to man. And in my opinion,
well, he was always going to ref this one, wasn't he? Because all the other big referees, if you'd let me explain it, because all the other big referees that we have done one already. Roger Hanna said on this show about a month ago, Willie Collum will get the next one. Because you look, John Beaton had the previous one, Nick Walsh had one, I think. Was it Don Robertson had the other? This was just always going to be Willie Collum's game. But you're making out as if it's some sort of deliberate. Has Willie Collum never refereed Rangers victories before?
2010. The only one that Celtic fans with a whataboutery come on and say, oh, he gave us a dodgy penalty.
Right.
2010. Before you go any further...
Did he give Rangers a dodgy penalty, in your opinion, that day?
In 2010?
Yeah.
It's his very first Old Firm game.
That's not what I asked. In your opinion, was that a dodgy penalty that Rangers got that day?
Well, what does it matter? Is that long ago?
You can just answer it yes or no. It's fine. It's
the answer is yes, James. Sure, I was standing right there.
You want a yes? It's a dodgy penalty, right? But the bottom line is...
Right, so clearly he can just make mistakes for both sides then, as history has shown.
No.
What do you mean, no? You've just said it. You admitted it was a dodgy penalty, did you not?
The first Old Firm game.
Right, but I'm not bothered about the time frame. I asked you, did you think he gave a dodgy penalty to Rangers? You said yes. Therefore, that is proof that he can make mistakes for both teams.
No,
what do you mean,
that.
No? It's just, it was you that said
James
it was a dodgy penalty.
James Lynch's own argument.
Nah.
Quite right, James. Stick to your guns.
Well, see, I think the important thing is Philippe Clement doesn't think that way, because see if you genuinely think that, like, you don't take part. Because I know James will be watching it, whereas if he genuinely felt that, his heart hearts, there's no chance, and the outcome is preordained, it's written already, just don't watch it then. Don't bother.
I'm a bit older than you, I think that's the biggest nonsense I've ever heard in my life. I really do. I think it's a bit disrespectful to a guy that...
A bit disrespectful?
Yeah, has spent his life dedicating himself to try to be a top referee that's refereed all over Europe. Let's be honest about it. Of course he's made mistakes. Of course people all can go on Twitter and say, well, what happened in 2010? What happened when we refereed this game? Look at the call he made at Celtic Park when he was VAR. All that nonsense, right? But I don't care who the assistant referee is or who's on VAR. I think
Stephen McLean's on VAR. James didn't mention him. He ran through the rest.
Right, okay. And Celtic fans will say, oh, Stephen McLean's maybe a Rangers fan. I think the officials, before this game's even kicked off, get a real hard time. People tend to find that an excuse right away. I don't think... Look, I think we'll debate a few decisions that'll be made on Saturday. Of course we will. But I truly believe, and it's only my opinion like everybody else, that the officials try to be as honest and give the fairest decision in their mind that they possibly can.
The statement from Rangers earlier on in the season certainly doesn't help the view of fans like James, who'll just never see past Willie Collin being against their side. And Willie Collin was then...
Were you playing the day that he heard the penalty?
I didn't hear anything. I was standing right there next to Kirk Broadfoot diving.
Your hearing's rubbish, though.
What?
I think I got there just in time. I think I just about spotted it.
Did you see the wee dancing?
I was happy. But, you know what I mean, the statement... Willie Collin then ref was at the United game shortly after that, for Rangers. And has that been the only one?
I think
was it another one? Was it the Scott Brown game? Did they know?
Oh yeah. Sorry.
And Rangers fans just won't forgive him for what happened at Celtic Park earlier in the season.
No, but it's more than that. James has got
gone back. So I'm with Daz in this one. Willie Colm is one of our most experienced refs. Does he make mistakes? Of course he does. We all hope that he doesn't make any on Sunday, on Saturday, and it's up to the players to perform just much like the last one.
James, is there not a danger that this is seen, and maybe this is not the way you're intending, it'll give you the benefit of the doubt, this is seen as getting your excuses in early?
What's the point of me speaking if you're just going to shoot me down? I mean, I was already about to tell you, when was the last time Celtic actually had any complaint with Willie Collin? There's not been any. Listen, this is a fact. Celtic have never ever lost a big game with Willie Collin other than 2010. I've said that to Andy. Ask people on X, Twitter, and they can't come back with anything, because there's none. There's no big games that Celtic have lost but Willie Collin is a referee. He's a clever referee.
But what does that mean? Right. How do you know they didn't deserve to win those matches, though? That's not how proof works. What have you proved there?
Well, it's just my opinion. What's this? You try to pin me down and say proof? I'm just giving you my opinion.
Your opinion is what?
Well, without using the word, he's a clever referee. You don't want me to use the word.
Yeah,
but Celtic fans use the word.
But that opinion, what I'm saying is, the fact that he, in whatever theory you give about big games, that's not a fact, James. You can't just present that as proof that therefore Willie Collin deliberately oversees Celtic victories. Celtic win the vast majority of the games in this country, so it's not surprising that he won't have overseen that many Celtic defeats.
Well, rubbish, Gordon. Absolute rubbish.
What is?
As you just try to play devil's advocate, the bottom line is, as a Rangers fan, and I'm speaking for many of them, I'm pretty sure, right? Unfortunately, we're not like Celtic. Every single Celtic fan hate beating. They call them cheap, blah, 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 to a man. Unfortunately.
And you're doing something different from that?
Well, I'm saying that I'm going to use the word, haven't I not? You know what I mean? Yeah, he's an out-and-out cheat.
Nah, you can't say that, James. Nope, you can't. That's the thing, you can't. That is not Rangers, fair. You can't Rangers. Do that. Take that in back. Rangers. Take it back, James. Apologise.
Rangers think it. I'm pretty sure Rangers think that. The sad thing about
James, honestly, right? I'm trying to be patient. You cannot come on here and make that accusation about someone without either proving it or us giving him the chance to have his... right of reply. So take that word back. Come on.
You don't ask Celtic fans to take the word back.
We'll need to leave it there. I tried. Thanks, James. I would say it was a pleasure, but it was far from it. 01419511025. And if you want to do more of that, we're here right for you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Holson and Gordon DL are here. 01419511025. Twitter at Clyde SSB, where lots of people have tweeted during the break to say, I think you'll find Willie Collum was in charge of Celtic against Kilmarnock in the League Cup final when Kilmarnock won. Yeah. Who knew?
I remember that as well.
I don't have a list of games that he's officiated. So there we go. But that was ages ago as well.
Everybody.
James's evidence was flimsy, to say the least. Imagine him as your lawyer. Just when the opposing argument came up, he just kept shouting, yeah. Nah, nah.
I'm not going to say the word.
Then said it. 01419511025. Twitter, as we said, if you want to get your thoughts in ahead of the weekend. I should have known, because I said at the start there was quite a few, there's a couple of transfer speculations. Celtic linked with Liam Kelly, Rangers reportedly closing in on a new defender. It's kind of hard to see past this game first, I think, isn't it? For a lot of people by the looks of these phones. So let's bring in Peter, who's in Irvine. How's the Celtic perspective looking this weekend then, Peter?
Yeah, right, guys. Thanks for taking my call again.
Pleasure.
I'm just wondering who's dishing at the Dillard Mall in Glasgow in the West. And I'm hoping that they'll lower the dosage, because there's people being getting far too much, I think, to be honest.
In regards to what?
In regards to the last couple of callers, it's just that, let's go back to this derby. The first one of the season, as I say, a couple of weeks ago, I was dreading it. Celtic were weak, couldn't put a team together, they still won at Ibrox. And now that they're at their strongest, they're finding form. I don't know how these Rangers fans think that they're even in with half a chance.
Is that not overly confident, Peter? I get the point. Everybody acknowledges Celtic will get into this as favourites. The 3 points between these two sides at the moment. It's not like we're not talking two teams that are like miles and miles apart, are we?
See the serial losers line. I've only ever heard that coming for Rangers fans. I know season ticket holders at Ibrox, it's not getting back the rest of the season. They think it's over. And I'm saying to them, it's not over, it's over. So no. My stomach's still churning. I know it's not over, but I'm taking my...
You just said Rangers had no chance. What's happened to you? You just said Rangers had no chance before that.
They have got no chance. They've got no chance in this derby.
Right. Why is your stomach churning?
Yeah, but if they win, if Celtic win, surely it's over.
Aye, of course. Of course, I know that. But you can just never predict an all for them. I know I'm saying they've no chance and all that, right? But I'm just trying to answer these callers back. Like, you've got absolutely no chance compared to what's come out there. My bank, I'm talking perfect sense. I told Mr. Stevens, Rangers have the chance to go 5 points clear, and he's given it. Rangers are a foregone conclusion. They'll win the league. It annoyed me that much I had to phone in.
And but you said it wasn't over until it's over.
Sorry?
You said it's not over until it's over.
I think we're getting dangerously close to going round in circles. I'm a little bit lost. I don't know how it can be. Rangers have got no chance of winning this
week, but it's over.
The stomach's churning at the same time. That would suggest a nervousness and uncertainty as to whether it would go the way. Obviously, Mark, I don't think you're even going to meet many Rangers fans that Celtic would be favourites going into this, because it's at home, because they are
in slightly better form when you look at the last few or last section of games, which has included the Dundee and Ross County debacles for Rangers. So I mean, of course they are. That's not, it's not controversial, but I always just feel like it's team one in the league versus team two in the league, and there's 3 points between them. It's not going to be the biggest shock in the world if Rangers win this game.
No, well, 3 points, 5 goals over 35 games shows, you know, there's not a lot between them. You even then look at the games between the teams, and they've been incredibly close, even though Celtic have edged it. But of course you have to take recent form, and then you have to look at the injury list and who's came back and who's not going to make the game, and that would put Celtic favourites. The last couple of games Celtic have been consistent with their team selection, and it's looking like it's got to a good place. Whether Rangers, you've got to say Philip Clement's team selection, whether that be because of injury or just out of form, has changed. You even just look at Sterling, how many positions Sterling's played over recent weeks, and then you go, is there any consistency within that, and where's he going to play on Saturday? So all that points for me to Celtic being the favourites. However, I've went into many of these games myself before as favourites and come out the other end with a negative result. So the Celtic players will be well aware of that, that they can go out there on the pitch and feel like their favourite, but they still need to perform. They still need to hope for luck on the day as well, that everything goes their way.
I totally agree. You've looked at over the season, Celtic probably went into games against Hearts a couple of times favourites and lost. I'm with Mark. I think that Celtic certainly are favourites, of course, because we've mentioned why. But in a one-off game here, and you can look at, well, how could you be confident because Celtic have dominated this fixture for so long now? Because of the importance of it, because of the fact that Rangers know it's their last chance. You look at some of Rangers' results away from home, especially in Europe this season. They've been very good when they had absolutely no chance. I don't blame Celtic fans for being confident. Absolutely not. But if you're Rangers, are you capable of going and win that game? 100% yeah. I'll be on the day. And I don't care about what's happened in the past. I think the managers will pick their strongest 11. I think we could almost pick Brendan Rodgers. I think there's one doubt and it'll be on the flank. But you look at Rangers, I don't think MD could second guess what Clement's going to do. I've absolutely no chance. There are about three or four that's up for debate right away. So I think he's got a big job of getting, one, his team right, his tactics right on the day. I don't think he'll sit back and try and absorb the pressure of Celtic and then hit them in the counter-attack. It backfired at Ibrox for him. Second half, they were a lot better. They were on the front foot. They were positive. It was a terrific game of football, 6 goals. I just think we're in for the same.
I think that's a good point about the tactics. I think Rangers look a better, more dangerous side against Celtic when they've actually went for them. I think in the previous games, there's been a bit of a mixture, a bit of uncertainty in there within how Rangers have set up from one half to the next. And I think you look at the game at 2-1, and Rangers really started to build a bit of momentum at Celtic Park. I think they were down to 10 men, weren't they? And they were much better because they were playing fearless, nothing to lose, and Celtic started to wobble. And that was our best opportunity to get something out of that game at that point. Similar at Ibrox, when they were, you know, so poor in the first 45 minutes, like Daz says, from sitting off and playing numerous just long balls and hoping for the best, they were poor. But when they changed it and went for Celtic, there was a vulnerability about Celtic there that Rangers got chances and got the rewards for it. So it's got to be huge for Clement. Sometimes it's the way the opposition play. If Celtic play that similar way, we'll be in for a game with, you know, endless goals, and that's what we hope for.
From one Peter to another, this one's in Coatbridge. What's your theory or your take on the weekend's action, Peter?
Hello, Gordon. I think the subs benches will have an important part in it. I feel that subs are getting used more and more and for longer periods of time, and I think Celtic edge it a wee bit there. Unless there's a few injuries that the Rangers players recover from, I would say the Celtic bench is a bit stronger.
Yeah, Celtic have a lot of injuries at the moment. I think that's fairly obvious. We don't quite know 100%, you know, like Sima, Matondo, that could change things. And just in terms of options, you know, if we're talking about wide areas, attacking areas, so-called game changers, there's still no Oscar Cortez or Danilo. These guys are nowhere near it. If Matondo and Sima were to fall into that category as well. But I mean, look, Peter's right. It's not just this fixture. Five subs, on you come. It's a completely different prospect now. And of course, the last one, Rabbi Matondo, comes on in the 69th minute, really injected something into Rangers overall, and then popped up with that goal, voted as PFA Scotland goal of the season, marked right at the end.
Yep.
Adam Ida came off the bench to score what we thought was Celtic's winner as well. So, yep, I take Peter's point.
Well, the game's just changed now with five substitution rule, that we always hear that it's a big advantage to Celtic when they go and play a Motherwell, and it's a big advantage for Rangers when they go and play a Dundee. But when they're playing each other, it could just change the full outlook of the game or the flow of the game. And you're right in point. That's what's happened this season. We've had evidence of it.
Sima actually came on at half time, didn't he? And he got, although his was deflected, and it wasn't quite the same headline grabber as Matondo's. But
he changed the game for Rangers, didn't he? He was more direct. Substitutes, you're right, they're so important just now. But I think that you look at this game, it could be a sub that comes on and makes you sell a hero at the weekend. But usually, if you're changing it and you're going to be positive, you've got to be strong in the bench for me, middle to front. Usually, if a defender will only come on if you're going to go to a back three and two wing backs to sit nice and tight and plug the gaps if you're trying to hold on. But usually in these games, the team that's maybe behind or want to go in the front foot, I'll bring on an attack midfield player, I'll bring on a winger, or the options is changing their centre forward. So I totally agree with Peter and Cope Bridge. I think that substitutions, tactics, everything plays a part in Saturday.
Just on that then, Peter, does Daizen Maeda come off the bench or does he start the game?
I would start him. He seems to... I know he's not got the final product, but him up and down the wing seems to cause a lot of problems. And it's an outlet for Celtic just to punt the ball sometimes, as we saw Joe Hart doing at one time, and they get the goal. So I would put him on for that, just to disrupt the back four of Rangers.
Fair enough. Thank you very much to Peter in Coatbridge. Let me, before we go any further, run this past you.
Clyde One. £1 million make me a winner. Win your share of £1 million. Make me a winner.
Well done to Scott from Falkirk. He won £90,000 last time out on Make Me a Winner. He's planning to pay off his mortgage, and he even had a bit of advice for anyone else entering.
I think, like many other people, it's one of these things where it's not the first time that you've answered and it's been some cold caller or it's been somebody trying to sell you a service. It makes a big difference when you're getting given money.
This guy dishing out advice as well. He's what a day he's having. He's trying to pay a bit back. You could be the winner of £100,000 tomorrow when we make another call, but you need to be in that draw. Text yes to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition can be found online. The important bit: if you get the call after 3 p.m. tomorrow, answer within five rings and say "Make me a winner" straight away, and that is how you win the £100,000. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are here. It is wall-to-wall intense build-up for the game on Saturday already. I keep mentioning the headline news today, a bit of speculation linking Liam Kelly with Celtic, Rangers closing in on a new defender. Philippe Clement is on the Football Writers. Are you alright there?
Yeah, I'm just adjusting
a chair malfunction.
Yeah, a malfunction.
I thought you were taking cramp. Thought I was going to have to rub the hammy there for you.
No, I'm fine now.
Do you sometimes forget we're still on the live stream? You know that's a thing now.
No, I was very professional there. I looked and I seen you, so I sort of seen the opportunity.
Very sporty look you've gone for in the live stream tonight. Proper 1990 P teacher.
Sported.
That.
How old is that Under Armour t-shirt?
It's a 2023 plate.
No, it's not.
100%. It's a 2023 player.
Bargain bucket stuff.
Absolutely not. A lot of people.
See, usually people go for one that's got the wee subtle Under Armour logo on, like the chest. But you've gone like full A4,
yeah,
Under Armour splattered right across the front.
I can see a sponsorship deal heading to
this. Yeah, I'm sure. Anthony Joshua and Gordon Yale.
Spieth, Joshua and Dazzler.
Now that they've moved on from Andy Murray, you are next in line.
Well,
you've both got a metal hip.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
There ends the similarities.
We're big names in Scotland. So there's a opportunity.
I'm glad you've dressed up for us. I can hardly talk, to be fair.
What are you talking about?
What are you having to go me for? It's
boiling your beak.
I know, by the way. I've got a spot on my nose, haven't I?
God, what size of that thing?
You're talking about noses. Let's go on to noses then, don't we?
Let's not. Let's bring on Let's bring in Sharon, who's on the line. How are you, Sharon?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm actually hiding in the garden so that Mother Half doesn't know that I'm on the radio.
It's funny, Gordon hides in the garden for his other half as well sometimes. Never mind. Why then? So what is he?
Oh no, it's just that he's in the kitchen and he's listening. So I thought
I'm going to go on the
radio before I marry him on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. On Saturday?
Oh.
Yeah. What time? Yeah.
Well, we get married at 2:30, but I'll be making sure that I'll see the first half of hopefully Bill Firm. So I did predict that we would that this would happen on our day.
Wow! But, I mean, the thing is, with VAR, it's not going to finish till 2:30, is it?
Nah.
So maybe after.
Well, exactly. But I do hope that Rangers do win, and well, fingers crossed. But I do think it's been, you know, like the last couple of games that they've played with, as I say, that the both teams haven't been playing brilliant against each other. But I'm just hoping that we get a wee bit of luck, and I think we sort of are not saying that Celtic don't need it, but I think we need to show that we are definitely, you know, trying to win this league.
Sharon, look, I know you want to go on and talk. You can't come on and just drop the bomb that you're getting married on Saturday and then move on and act like this is just any other call.
Well, we've got to share
talking about the game.
It's him or me, Sharon.
Well, listen, I'm getting married at Deer Park, so it is all taunty.
Oh, Deer Park, yes.
Yeah, so he's allowed to come along for a party. It's fine.
Will I come at night, Sharon?
Yes, you can come. It starts at 7:00, so you're more than welcome to come.
Don't invite him to a wedding.
Oh, Shaz, I'm doing nothing Saturday night.
Shaz,
so
now, is it? Right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. The only thing is, it's a bit late to get you a present. I hope you don't mind.
Well, listen, you would be my present. You're fine.
Oh, lovely.
Now, look, this is what I love about this show. These calls just land on you. But this is too good to be true.
Know,
he's not a Celtic fan, is he? No.
No. Mother has a heart fan. I've been on a couple of times, so we've had a wee bit of, you know, the Rangers against the Hearts, you know, so I they didn't do us any favours either, so I'm not speaking to him.
So
that's a good sign to the marriage going forward, Shaz, yeah. But so right, that's getting off the right foot there.
Can I just say people in glass houses, right?
I'm trying to
help.
There's
one subject that I would just no. That's nope. No one wants to hear your take on that.
I feel that I've got a lot to offer in the
Sharon,
wedding combat,
is it,
compartments.
So will you be avoiding the result?
I'll try, and obviously I'll probably
don't walk down the aisle with your face dripping you, do you?
Listen, as I turn around and say, I know what I'm walking down the aisle to, but if Rangers win, I'll be changing it to Simply the Best.
Oh my
God. Oh, you will be there. That's in your top 10.
That was number
songs.
10 in my hit list, Sharon. So I'm certainly, I'll be looking forward to it.
Well, Sharon, we wish you well. We hope it all goes to plan on the day, the wedding.
Brilliant.
Congratulations in advance.
I'll definitely be on it. If we win, I'll definitely be on it.
Give us a call back.
On Saturday.
Why not? Saturday got night. 5:00 from the dance floor.
10 sheets to run. I feel for Sharon and her man. What about the guests? Imagine getting an invite and think, oh, lovely wedding. And then you realise, oh, you would make an excuse, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't.
You see
there.
These jokes, don't you? It's quite a well known Twitter joke or Facebook joke where Sharon says,
"Shimmer me, Sharon.
No, look, I've got a, you know, there's a ticket going sort of thing."
I know where you're going with this.
And they say, try and get them to take your place at the wedding rather than take your ticket because Sharon's going to go to the game instead and all that sort of stuff. No, never mind.
I fancy that wee night. I might pop up there, just put my face in, just say hello.
Wonder if it's a wonder if it'll be other Hearts fans, because that who are they playing at the weekend? Why, I should really know.
They're
that
playing Aberdeen.
Aberdeen, yeah.
No, Hibs. Hibs,
they're
playing.
They're playing
away.
Dundee
on Sunday.
Oh, so it's anyway, right? So the
they're playing Dundee. Is that looking at there?
The mood of the wedding depends on the result of the game. Aye. See, Floyd, come on, thought there was pressure before. There's real pressure.
I'll tell you what, I bet the husband to be is hoping for a win.
Why?
He doesn't want Sharon a bad moon Saturday night, does he?
Yeah, exactly. Up against it. You've right been there. Right from there.
You've been there, do you know, go a few days before.
A few days?
A few days.
Was that a week?
It was about 2 weeks.
Was it?
Oh, it was a great wedding, that, but I've got to say.
You and Jock.
Me and Jock.
Playing the high jump with iron board.
So what, you fell out with a bride? That was right, you've told this before.
Yeah.
Before?
On the day, no, on the day they went.
At what point?
We split up.
At what point with, in the day?
About 7:15.
What is that, during dinner then?
Just after dinner. Just
was
after
the speech? Just after how the bad speech? Must the speech have been for your bride at that time, eh?
We realised.
Seeing you tell these stories, I think you forget how many people are listening. But
what
I'm
was the context
it?
Of the speech?
You've got to ask the best man. Put it this way, he had props. He's the only guy who brought props to a speech for a wedding. The guys in the front were taking odds on it. I was even money to last 4 days, right? They were actually having a bet.
So a genuine fallout at the dinner before you've even got to...
I don't even know if I got my first answer. I think that went. And then the night just simply grew and grew, and I woke up the next morning and
on your tod,
on my tod.
Well,
I seen her in January. It was fantastic.
You've got serious issues. Anyway, let's move on and play this.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun
for the best football news and opinion online. thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. A bit of light comic relief. See what these two can come up with tonight on the usual number 01419511025. And the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DLR here. And just in case you weren't aware of how close the game is getting this weekend, these phone lines would tell you everything you need to know. It is ramping up quite the thing, so keep the calls coming. Anything you want, team lineup suggestions, confidence, fears, anything else that goes around the game. We'll hear from both managers tomorrow, which will be interesting, I'm sure. A bit of speculation about next season and future planning today. Liam Kelly linked with a move to Celtic. I wonder what you make of that, Celtic fans. And Jose Cordoba, Rangers fans, that's the defender that you are reportedly closing in on. So any thoughts there? What about that manager of the year shortlist as voted for by the football writers? Tony Docherty, Derek McInnes and John McGlynn, just like the PFA award. But one big difference, and that's that Philippe Clement makes this list this time. So I wonder what your reaction to that is. Get it in now. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun
for the best football news and opinion online. thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It's getting close, getting to the end of the season. Maybe your last chance. You know, you referenced the Old Firm game, said if you lose, it could be your last chance to make up for it. You have the chance to go best of the rest. Simon is above you.
Simon Donnelly?
Yeah, and Cammy went above you last night. He's not played that many, to use Gordon DL's favourite phrase. But it's all about win percentage.
Exactly. No, I'm not having that.
It's a long way back for you, let me tell
you. I won the other night again. I've won more games.
Did you win
the other
night? I didn't hear.
You're a long way back.
Buried them.
Let me tell
Buried
you. James is in Inverness. How's it going, James?
How's it going, lad? You all right?
Yes, not bad. Have you ever played before?
Yeah, I played a few years ago, yeah.
Right, and how did it go?
I think I beat 4-3 off of Scott Allen.
Okay, well, listen, sounds like he's been away studying for the last few years.
Scott Allen, hang up.
Listen, that's Rich coming from you. I got a message from Mark Mullen. You don't know Mark Mullen, right?
I'll tell you, is this the boy shouting at me in the street?
What?
Somebody shouted at me last night in the street, I beat you, beat the pundit, right? Well, I just left him lying there.
I like when people shout at you in the street.
It's got to be more than that. Mark Mullen is a teacher in Dubai. You're going to Dubai soon,
yeah,
are you not?
Tell Mark I'll meet up with him.
But he's been going around telling his primary seven class all about the time that you said United States of the Arabs years ago, and it will, that answer will not leave you alone. He's now telling the children of Dubai.
In Dubai.
So there's every chance that when you go on your holiday,
you want me to do appearance,
people will bring it up even there.
I'll tell them I'll come to school and talk them through it.
Many dirhams.
These schools have got a few quid by the way.
There'll be a few dirhams. Yeah. A game of golf and a few dirhams.
That seems fair.
A Monzo card.
Yes, he's
obsessed with Monzo cards just now. It's like they've just been invented.
Other internet banking providers are available.
He's loving it. He's got it through
this
the post.
This is a guy who's not been on holiday in years, and he's going twice.
Holidays.
He's a cash man, so he's worried about his car transactions.
Yeah.
So he's had to get a Monzo card.
I'm not getting big enough pockets for my dirhams.
Anyway, enough about that. Let's play Beat the Pundit. If it's heads, it will be Mark Wilson. If it is tails, it will be the Globetrotter himself, Gordon Dalziel. You're off the hook. It's heads. It's Partick Thistle's Mark Wilson.
Yes.
Interestingly enough, though,
good luck, James.
Because just quickly on that, you two are super famous thanks to this show, obviously, and you get spotted everywhere you go. I heard you were at Kelly Jones of Stereophonics fame.
I was.
See, one of my sources told me they saw you there.
Yes.
I know the same night that Partick Thistle were in the playoffs, though.
It was.
Are you not employed by Partick Thistle? It's been bothering me ever since. I was trying to put it together.
Fortunately for me, I was on an SFA Elite Youth A licence course, so. But I wouldn't then make it over in time to the game.
But you did make it to see Kelly Jones.
Well, I watched the first half
on the night that Thistle played in the playoffs.
I was well abreast of what was happening.
Are you going tomorrow night?
No, we've got an under 18 game at the same time scheduled. I've no doubt the first team will do the job.
James and Inverness.
Mark against James. Let's give Mark some greatest hits radio. James, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
All good, yep. No
worries. Time starts now. Who was Rangers club captain before James Tavernier?
Lee Wallace.
Which Scotland international picked up the Bulgarelli number 8 award this week?
Pass.
The Beanos are the nickname of which club?
Arbroath.
What club did Duncan Ferguson join Rangers from?
Dundee United.
Who's the only non-premiership manager to be in the shortlist for Football Writers Manager of the Year?
Tom McGlynn.
True or false, Sally McCoist is the only man to have scored in 3 consecutive Old Firm games?
False.
Name the Celtic player that's played for Ajax, Bayern Munich and Rapid Vienna.
Andreas Hinkel.
Okay, let's bring Mark Wilson back. Mark, can you hear us?
Yes.
Mate, same set of questions.
I'm going to go early. I think you'll go for a 10.
Not a chance.
They're easy.
Have you met him recently?
They're easy, mate.
I've got one in my mind at the minute.
They're easy.
Have you? What?
Tactical
SFA stuff.
Stuff
that I'm just...
He's trying to be a coach, right? I ain't going to happen for him.
30 seconds. Your time starts now. Who was Rangers club captain before James Tavernier?
Oh. Pass.
Which Scotland international picked up the Bulgarelli number 8 award this
week?
Wes
Ferguson.
The Beanos are the nickname of which club?
Stirling Albion.
What club did Duncan Ferguson join Rangers from?
Dundee United.
Who's the only non-premiership manager in the shortlist for Manager of the Year?
John McGlynn.
True or false, Ali McCoist is the only man who's scored in 3 consecutive Old Firm games?
True.
Name the Celtic player who's played for Ajax, Bayern Munich and Rapid Vienna.
Kuhn.
Okay. What are you thinking, James? James?
James.
Let's find out how it went. The Rangers captain before James Tavernier was Lee Wallace. James got it.
I knew it.
Well done, James.
It was 1-0 in front. Good shout, that. The Bulgarelli number 8 award this week goes to Lewis Ferguson.
That's incredible.
You see some of the list of players that have won that.
Unbelievable. Incredible achievement from
Daniele De Rossi, Tonali, Newcastle. There's a few good names on that list as well. Anyway, 1-1. The Beanos are Stirling Albion. Mark Wilson goes 1 in front.
Yes.
James knew Dundee United for Duncan Ferguson, but so did you. John McGlynn, the non-premiership manager on the shortlist. So Mark stays 1 in front.
James get that as well?
Yes, he did. James wasn't bad.
He's all right.
The Ali McCoist is the only man who's scored in 3 consecutive Old Firms.
Who's James say?
Oh, no. Oh. That's not true. Sorry, that's false. Kyogo's done it, apparently.
Oh, my. Who makes these questions?
I think we'd get one night where he's just like,
easy.
Oh, get some.
So that's
people
changed the whole dynamic of this
because we're now level.
Yeah, because I thought it was.
What did James say?
We're now level.
Said the opposite. He said false.
It's good that it was a true or false, and we could just quickly adapt.
He said a battle up there, James.
And the Celtic player who played for Ajax, Bayern, and Rapid Vienna is Nicholas Kuhn.
Oh, last minute winner!
Anyway. See, it just made it a bit more dramatic.
Yes.
It was like a VAR decision going in your favour with five to go, but then someone else pops
exactly
up.
Exactly.
Is that a 5-4?
Had
good.
A big blow at the end there, but resilient
result,
came
mate.
Back. Thank
yeah,
you.
Good result.
Well done, James.
Thank you. Good man. Well done. The better man won, obviously.
Aye,
like
of course.
James. I like James's style. Yeah. Thanks, James. Nah. Enjoy your weekend.
Never be a winner with that attitude, James.
Good man, James in Inverness.
It's good, good friendly game. See the difference between me and a Thursday with a caller and him in a Thursday
You'll
with a caller.
You'll never be a winner with that James's attitude. Nah, you're no winning many balls, mate. 2-2.
Do you know what I was thinking? I got a message that you might be interested in, and this has actually it's been bothering me for the last couple of days because sorry to harp on about it. Again,
money involved.
But no.
Right.
Is
it Bonzo?
Talking about you being spotted everywhere. Remember on Tuesday we discovered someone had spotted you at the cinema?
With my pick mix.
Eating your pick and mix.
When we get the cinema
on Monday.
Like Monday afternoon.
What? Yeah. What did you go and see?
How weird is
I
that?
I don't want to go
what,
to
what
rehab.
Did you go and see?
And that's
oh, the Amy Winehouse?
No, Elvis.
It was Amy Winehouse, obviously. Helen sent me a message to say, can you let the Dazzler know that the pick and mix is dodgy? I've seen small kids going over picking sweets out their mouth with their hands.
No, don't say that.
And then putting it back in the tub. He might want to think about this in the future, which is fascinating, right? Because you are the biggest germaphobe I've ever met. You only drink out of takeaway cups. Uh-huh. You don't even in a restaurant, you don't drink out of cups that other people could have used.
Yeah.
And yet slavery wee kids have been all over your pick and mix. I'm astonished that you... It wouldn't bother me. I would just...
Why have you never thought
in.
Of that?
To be fair, I do it myself, right? I have a bit of one, maybe put it back in, a wee half. Like, we all do. We all steal a wee.
Astro belt.
I'm not advertising it, but
I'm just surprised at you because you are...
So I never thought about that. Mm-hmm.
I don't
because
touch
the spade's
reason.
There, isn't it?
It's a spade, but you're thinking people
are going over and doing
kids,
the right thing.
They're unruly, they've been picking their nose and then eating sweets.
Don't say that, Gordon. Please don't say
How
that.
How much was your pick mix?
About 14 quid or something.
So see the wee white mice that you love?
Pink. I like
the pink
ones.
Mice?
Yeah.
Covered in slivers and bogies.
Oh, I never eat a pink mix as long as
sorry if you're eating your dinner,
ones.
By the way.
Do you like the pink ones?
No.
Do you not?
No.
And the big long red things. Licorice things.
Astro belts.
Is that what they're called? They're good.
Sugary ones.
Stop this right now. Matt's in Partick. Mark, bring us back. Talk something like team selection or something from the weekend, will you?
Yes, hi.
Good, take it away.
I think Kuhn could fit this one out in terms of the Celtic Rangers game, obviously. And I think there's one thing that's not really been spoken about tactically that Celtic could do, and whether or not it's in Brendan Rodgers' mind, I don't know. You'd imagine it would be, but yeah, I think Maeda should start on the left and Forrest should start on the right, even though Forrest has proven to be so effective coming in off the left. But there's nothing to say that during the game, frequently, or as frequent as you like, they could switch positions as the game went on, and that could give fresh headaches for the likes of Barisic and Tavernier, because all of a sudden people say Maeda terrorises Tavernier. I think that's a bit strong, but it gives them very much a hard time. But then to swap over as the game goes, it'd be interesting to give a fresh headache to each of the fullbacks. That was the first thing I wanted to say.
Yeah, Mark, what do you think that will look like at the weekend?
Pretty much what Matt says. I think if Celtic had to put a poll on their Twitter page,
that would be to pick a team.
I know. I should have done that with a few of my team selections. I think it'd be an overwhelming majority favouring James Forrest. But it's funny, if you go back maybe 6 weeks ago, then that wouldn't be the case. Mm-hmm. But, you know, recent form and how he...
A different side, though.
Off a different side, but James has played there. I don't think there's any doubt Maeda will play. Kuhn's done okay. I think he can be pleased enough with his contribution since he's came. I think there's more to come, but I think this is a game for tried and tested, and it'd be different if James Forrest was off form, if he was still coming on for, you know, just little cameo roles here and there. The fact that he's playing at an important time, he started the last couple of games and he made an impact when he came on in the semi-final, points to him starting.
If it's me picking the team, I'm picking Forrest all day, right? I'll put that out there.
And Maeda.
Yeah. Right. But I think that because he will play Maeda off the left, because I think Matt is right. It's not, he doesn't terrorise James Tavernier, but he gives him a hard time and it puts a lot of doubt in Tavernier's mind. Of course he does, because his pace, work rate, everything about it. I think that Brendan Rodgers might go for Kuhn. And the reason being is because Kuhn is terrific in the right-hand side, coming in onto that left foot, picking out passes. We've seen it especially at Celtic Park and people getting on the end of them. I know that Mark's argument is totally right. James Forrest has played probably in the right wing more than he's ever played in the left. But recently, I think Brendan Rodgers has liked Forrest coming off that left-hand side, cutting in on his favourable right foot and causing problems. So as much as I would love to see James Forrest, because I think James Forrest has still got a lot to offer Celtic, I really like him as a player, I think Brendan Rodgers might just go with Kuhn.
Do you?
Yeah, we're cutting in on that left foot.
It's a good argument. I get where Daz is coming from the balance of the team.
He's been so fulsome in his praise of James Forrest, though, yeah, hasn't he? Like, yeah. But I don't know if people care about this, whether that's just the kind of, you know, journalist side of things looking deeper and having to listen to the full press conferences. He's bringing James Forrest up without even being asked about him at times. He's that desperate to praise
him.
But
is that a case, Gordon? Brendan Rodgers, look, he's a fair experience. I know we're all talking about Maeda. Now, I keep saying it, I don't think Maeda's a world beater, right? But he comes alive in this game the way he goes about, and he does put a little bit of doubt in Tavernier's mind. Of course he does. But you look at Celtic last week, I thought they were terrific against Hearts, right? Maeda come on as a sub. The game was already done and dusted by then. I see it. Brendan Rodgers might stick with his two wingers and bring Maeda off the bench.
But is the beauty of Maeda not also where he makes James Tavernier play?
Yeah,
as well. All due respect, just don't face that against Hearts. That's not a consideration. It's much more about what you do.
Yeah, and that's why I think he'll start with him. But I just look at the right-hand side, and as I say, if it's me, I'm playing Forrest. I don't care. I'll put him in my team somewhere, where it's left or right. I don't care, because I think this is a sort of a game is tailor-made for him. He knows how to play this game. He knows how to handle it. He's got everything to offer. He's in form. He's confident. He just wants to go out there and show that he's not finished at Celtic. I would play Forrest. Brendan Rodgers may think different.
And Rangers might respond by, I don't know, putting Dujon Sterling in front of James Tavernier, Mark, to try and do something a bit different.
Maeda, yeah. Sterling is an interesting one, where he's got an argument of playing any position in that team, because he's performed strongly across them all. I just don't know if I would play Sterling in a wide area. Was it a couple of weeks ago against St Mirren he played him off the wide area, and I'm thinking he's got a couple of wingers sitting there on the bench. If you're wanting to go and make a statement,
doesn't
win
really
the game.
Have that though, does he now? Potentially, injury wise.
Yeah, maybe. But like, Sterling would do a job there. He'd be defensively more sound there on that side. But I think you make a good point. Maeda playing, it stops James Tavernier getting forward, and that's a hugely important thing for anybody playing against Rangers.
I think if you're Rangers, I wouldn't go with wingers on Saturday. I'd play the two number 10s. I would mix up. I think Rangers have got to be attacking here.
What else was on your mind, Matt? I know you had some other points to make.
Well, if you don't mind, there's just one other thing that I would rather, very quickly, if I may. I don't know if I was lost in translation there or part of what I said got missed. My phone's not in the best of order. But my point wasn't really who I think to start, which I'm about to contradict by saying I do think Forrest and your man should start. My real point
is just switch them all throughout the game.
What missed there was that what can to accommodate how good Forrest is coming off the left, and to accommodate Maeda spending some time on the left to give Tavernier problems. There's nothing to say that tactically, as the game goes on, they could swap wings at different times. And that was the crucial point I was making. And that could really bluster the right back and the left back as these transitions happen. So I think we were getting lost in talking about who should start and what I was actually saying, which was the effectiveness and the possibility of having the best of both worlds, where you can use James Forrest coming off the left, and then you can swap. I would start Forrest on the right, but you could use him. You could swap, and all of a sudden, Tavernier's gone from having to deal with Maeda to a guy who likes to cut inside, and then you can keep, and you can swap that perpetually throughout the game as and when you choose. That was the main point I was trying to get at, rather than just started. The other, if there's time, if there's not, that's okay.
No, you carry on.
Was just about Rodgers and his comment about let's have some fun, which I think has been, well, I'm not the neurons at fire in Brendan Rodgers' mind, so I don't know, but I think that remark was generally made with a view to him keeping his players calm and relaxed, rather than a dig. I don't think it was an arrogant move of we got this in the bag, we'll just play with this team. I think it was a conscious effort to have his players, the Celtic players obviously, stay relaxed and calm under pressure, because that's the kind of manager he is. And when they hear him saying things like that, it might reinforce this calmness, last confidence thing. And I think it's been ran away as if it was some dig, and I really don't think it was. And I wonder what you guys think of it.
What's good about this is it's 100% not over, because Brendan Rodgers will be asked about it tomorrow, and Philippe Clement will be asked about it again tomorrow. So then you'll hear what they had to say on tomorrow night's show, and this goes on and on. But anyway, what did you make of the original version of the story?
I agree with Matt. I thought Brendan Rodgers was on a high after seeing a very good performance. He knew the importance of the game the following week, and I believe he was concentrating on his own side. The message was for his own side, because he knows players will analyse his post-match press conferences. And it is about, this week is about putting your team at ease. As I said, you've done all the preparations, really. You know each other. It's about who can keep calm heads. And that's why I think that message was out there. Yeah, I agree with Matt. I think Philip Clement's taking it in the wrong context.
I don't agree that Brendan Rodgers just put that comment out there for his own team. I think he dangled a little carrot. And I was very surprised. And by the way, I'm not against it. I love it. I think it's great. I think managers should do it more often, rather than talk about, oh, he's done a terrific job under the circumstances, nonsense, right? I liked it, but I was very surprised that Clement sort of went for it. I would have ignored it, and then if I won on Saturday, then I'd have had my fun after the game. So, but the Rangers managers get caught up in it. He's answered it back. Maybe he looks at it as if he's come out with something, I'm going to protect my players and my club, and I'm going to bounce back with something. Me personally, looking at it, I would have just sat back, okay, fine, have your moment. And if you go and win the game, I would have had my moment after it.
Thank you, Matt. 01419511025. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are here on 0141 951 1025, or the usual Twitter, X at Clyde SSB. Before we bring in Rob, who's a Rangers fan, on the line, let me give you this question.
Full-time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
There's been a real theme of these questions this week, and it doesn't take a genius to figure out what that theme is. Thanks to Bob and Shettleston for sending this one. Can you name the last 8 non-European players to score in an Old Firm game? They must not be current players, so they've all left the club. Can you name the last 8 non-European players to score in an Old Firm, and they're no longer at
Morelos,
the club? Alfredo Morelos, yes. Where's he from?
Colombia.
Just checking. Well done.
Sakala.
Yep. Where's he from?
Next door.
Where is Nigeria? It? No.
Zambia.
Aye, uh-huh. I was going to say that. Aribo.
No.
No.
Nope.
No. Are you both scoring in Celtic?
No, obviously not. No.
Because he is Nigerian, isn't he? Is he?
Arfield.
Yes.
Oh, your favourite
Canadian international. Canadian. Of course. Okay, we'll leave it there. No more for now. Thanks again to Bob and Shettleston for sending it in. Thanks to Universal Interiors, East Kilbride, for helping us out with the question. And if you want a piece of that, you want involved, it's fulltime@clyde1.com on the email. Rob is on the line. How's it going, Rob?
I'm good, thanks. How's you and the boys, all right?
Can't complain. What are you thinking about the weekend then?
I'm just thinking maybe a wee kind of slight tactical tweak for Rangers starting 11. I think maybe they should go a holding midfielder, go a 4-1-4-1. Back four kind of speaks for itself. I'd, in midfield, I'd have Lundstrom sitting in front. Dio Mandy, I bring in Raskin. I'd take out Fabio Silva. I'd play Todd Cantwell off the left. He's got good work rate. He knows that. He's played that role before. On the right-hand side, Sterling. And then I think maybe even bring in Roof. Maybe to even start, at least give 45. He's a bit more physical. He's good at holding up the game. It means that in the transition going forward, you've got Sterling on the right. You can get the part, obviously. You've got Cantwell on the left, so you can play that kind of inverted, go to a 4-3-3. As I said, you've got, and then you've got two white guys in the transition to the defence. The two white guys that can kind of protect the two fullbacks can nullify Celtic's wide men.
It's certainly well thought out. You buying it, Gordon Dalziel? Does that sound good to you?
It sounds very good. Raskin, I forgot all about, to be honest with you. I liked him when he came in, but he doesn't seem to get a lot of game time under Clement.
Could you see that, Rob? He's not started since the 2nd of March. He came off at half time against Motherwell and has not started a game since. Could you see it?
Aye. I think the times I've watched Raskin at Ibrox, he seems to kind of want to kind of organise everyone else, and sometimes he gets caught in position himself. I think the boy has to just focus on his own game. He's got something as a player in there. We've seen that last year. He's got, you know what I mean, he's got the attributes to play in the middle of the park for Rangers. He's got a good injury on him. He can tackle, he can pass. He can get about the park. I think maybe his mentality, maybe, I don't know. He came out and made that quote, didn't he, about using Rangers as a stepping stone to go to a bigger club. But ever since then, he's fell flat a wee bit. So maybe it's just to kind of focus on his own game and not get involved with any nonsense. And if he wants to go to a bigger club, then show it on the pitch.
I think it's a decent plan for Rob, you know, more defensive, I suppose, but he's thought out that he's got pace in the wide areas and there's that maybe direct approach. Not too sure about the front man and Roof. I don't, you know, Roof, there's no doubt there's a good player in there with Roof, but I don't think you can just, you know, pluck him for obscurity and put him into these games. Where's it? Dundee? He just came and he ends up starting a game and, you know, people are expecting him to be the Roof with 25 games behind him and produce. It's unfair. So I'd find it a bit of a stretch if he was pulled in for this game. I think it will be Dessers up there, but the wide areas are going to be crucial. You don't know if Philippe Clement will, you know, go with much what he's seen before, or like Daz says and Rob says, if there is a tactical tweak in there.
He might, but not considering that the hand might be forced, there is a realistic scenario where Sima and Matondo don't make this game. That added already to the fact that, well, Cortez has been out for ages in that wide area. There's Ross McCausland there. They're not,
Scott Wright,
they don't have loads of options.
And you've got your other man, but I've got to say, I would tweak it as well. I would go, if it was me, I would go Sterling, Lundstrom and Diomande as a three. And I'd play two in front, Cantwell and Lawrence with Dessers up. I'd play two.
So you play Cantwell and Lawrence, because there's been a debate about which one for a lot of people.
I'd play the two. I'd play two number 10s there.
So who's stopping Celtic going forward?
I think your guys like Sterling can play in, they can go. Because Taylor's not going to be one of these guys that's going to bomb up there and bypass you in the game. I think Rangers have got to try something different, right? So it's not for me in this game. I can't see him starting the game. So I think they've got to win, right? A draw or probably getting beat is absolutely no good to them. Game over for me. So they've got to try something different for me. And he's got the personnel there to go and play that. They're good players. It floods the middle of the park where Celtic are so, so strong. And it just gives Celtic something else to think about. I can't see him lining up the usual Sterling playing off the right. I don't think that works for a boy. I really don't. I'd rather see him in amongst the battle. I think the midfield's got to be so important. I think Rangers have got to try and be strong in there for me.
Rob, how confident or otherwise are you? I take it, you know, most, well, I think everybody would sort of accept Rangers need to win the match. So what's the confidence looking like at this stage of the week?
I think if you, again, the Rangers team on the farm and all cylinders as yet, let's be honest, and we are missing key players, especially wide areas. I thought Seymour, if he stayed fit, he'd probably maybe go on to what, 30 odd goals this year, maybe a contender for player of the year. I thought Cortez, when he came in, was fantastic as well, and not really kind of filled that gap there. Also, I think Yilmaz at left back kind of frees up Stuart to go and play Midland Park, so maybe it's a wee bit crucial if he's fit. But in terms of confidence wise, again, we went to Betis this year. I know we'd seen in that in the team. We went to Betis, we set up defensively to hit them on the attack and on the counter, and it worked. So, I mean, there's personnel within that squad. I think there's a bit of belief within the squad as well. I think they know it's kind of last chance, and I think that's when this Rangers team kind of tend to deliver the goods, when it's a kind of last chance scenario. Do you know what I mean?
You can see why you would use those games, Mark, as evidence of what can be done.
Well, without doubt. I mean, Betis is a great example where I don't think anybody gave Rangers much chance in that. They had an important game coming up the week after, so team selection was in question, and they managed to pull off, which looked an impossible result. Slightly different. I don't think anyone thinks winning at Celtic Park is an impossible result. They might think they're slight underdogs, but not impossible. And that's where team selection comes into it. But I would agree with Rob. At times this season where Rangers have been up against it and you think they're out of it, they sometimes pull something out the hat. And that might just be the case come Saturday afternoon. But again, it's who Philippe Clement picks and who he trusts to get the job done on that day.
Thanks to Rob. What about Matthew on the other line? Matthew, Rob thought that Kemar Roofe should come in and lead the line for Rangers. What do you think?
Well, we stole my thunder a wee bit there. Maybe we could mind about the team selection as well. But no, I would go with Dessers, because Roofe not had much game time at all. And to be honest, I'd probably drop Catwell and Pat Lawrenson, because Lawrence's got a wee bit of creativity when it comes in front of goal. And I would play Silva and Matondo. We went away in Europe a few times and probably with big results, and I think we could do that away for Europe. Some of the teams like Dortmund, Real Betis, we could certainly go to Parkhead and win.
I mean, Dortmund obviously was a while ago, but Betis is a good example. What are you seeing in Dessers at the moment? Because he seems to just divide opinion, doesn't he?
Well, we'll probably miss 4 out of 5, but there's always going to be a chance that he could maybe finish one of them. So I just think Roofe's too slow now. I don't think it's well thought. And I know Dessers pulls defenders all over the place. That's one thing he does do. He gives them some trouble.
What do you think about that area, Gordon? Everybody just keeps, especially Rangers fans, you know, waiting on Kemar Roofe and can he play a few games and can he be the main man? It just never really comes to fruition. Because of that, you would imagine he won't be at the club next season. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that means you can't play him this time, but just all points towards that would be massive, wouldn't it?
He won't play him.
No,
absolutely no chance.
So you're with Matthew on the
He'll play Dessers. Like, I watch Dessers every Thursday. I'd say something different about this guy. Okay. He frustrates the life out of me. I watched him in Sunday against Kilmarnock, and a couple of times the ball comes through to him, just put your foot through it instead of cutting back on and taking an extra touch. One thing I like about him, right, this is a good positive for him. He gets his cell into great positions, right? He gets his cell into good positions. That's why everybody talks about, oh, he misses so many chances. The reason being, he's there. He's making good runs. His timing, he runs good. Everything's good. It's just the end product. Sometimes you see him, and as I say, a perfect example, if you watched on Sunday against Kilmarnock, I think everybody was shouting, just hit it. Just, it's on your favourite foot. Just hit the ball. You don't need to take an extra touch. You don't need to turn inside. He done that about 2 or 3 times, and it became so frustrating for the fans. But come Saturday, I always say that if you're the Rangers centre forward or Celtic, Kyogo does it every time he plays. See, when he goes to the big games, you make your name. Kyogo does it. He's brilliant at it. Dessers, if he wants to be a Rangers favourite here, this is an ideal opportunity. He's got to step up.
I mean, Mark, I'm not sure this is quite the way it works, but you could make the case that he's getting close. He's getting closer. Cyril Dessers, the one that was disallowed, and it's quite cruel now for you strikers to run away and celebrate and go daft, then the goal gets disallowed. He struggled for a while to shake off the first game of the season where he dwelled and took ages on that chance. But Matthew's sort of hope is that, you know, he just takes one of those chances. It's obviously possible. Yeah. This is a guy that's got, you know, 20 goals this season.
Well, I really don't know how you can leave him out. You know, he's been your main striker, whether that hook or crook, injuries and whatever. He's found himself in there and he's scored 20 goals this season, which is a good return for your first time. It doesn't matter how many chances you miss, that tag's never going to leave him now for some reason. And I hate players just being, you know, branded with something and then it just following them through their career. If Dessers finishes this season 20 plus goals, that's a good return for a striker at Celtic Rangers in their first season. And he's your best bet, really. I mean, going back to Roof, you're going to bring in a guy who's been consistently injured, not had much game time, and pin your hopes in the biggest game of the season on him. I'd find that hard to believe. So it'll be Dessers that leads the line. It's who's giving him the service is going to be the interesting thing, because he thrives off deliveries into the box. Daz says he gets himself into good positions. He's going to need service come Saturday afternoon at Celtic Park.
Thank you very much to Matthew in Easterhouse on 01419511025. How are you faring on this teaser sent in from Bob in Shettleston? He wants you to name the last 8 non-European players to score in an Old Firm game, but they must no longer be at the club. So you've got Fashion Sakala, Alfredo Morelos and Scott Arfield.
Go on, you've got my favourite Celtic player.
Tom Rogic.
Yep. Gordon.
That was it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a joint venture there. When have we got? 6.
4. We've got another 4 to get.
Yep. I don't like your silence. Come on.
El Kadouri. No. Yes. Too far back. No way.
It is. Well,
how did far I say
the
other one?
Done. Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Just before we go any further, let me tell you about this. I mentioned it the other night, but it really is worth listening to again, if I do say so. Myself, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel might be going to Germany, but if you're not making it over, why not get along to Hampden Park? That seems like a really good, obvious place. The second best thing if you can't get over there. So they've got a Scotland viewing party packages on throughout the tournament. You can immerse yourself at the Scotland's National Stadium. There's an arrival drink in one of the luxurious lounges before you watch all the excitement on the big screen. You'll be rubbing shoulders with Scotland legends during a pre-match Q&A with food and drink available as well. Now, for the chance to win a table for you 9 friends to Scotland's opener against Germany on the 14th of June, head to Clyde1.com. That's a brilliant prize. Imagine if you can't make it over, where else would you watch it? 10 of you off to Hampden. Bit of food and drink, big screen, Scotland fans, Scotland legends. What is not to like? You two are going though, aren't you?
Yeah.
We'll be there, yeah.
Well, we're
on a march.
You'll be somewhere in Munich.
Mixing it, yeah.
Who knows where?
Yeah, I know. We can't into any stadium at all.
We're on air when the games are on. How can we be in a stadium? We're out with the people.
In the stadium, man.
We're rubbing shoulders.
Busy. Too busy. Aye, we'll be.
Yeah, we'll be sunbathing. I've got new clobber.
Did I tell you about his latest?
He's got his Germany wardrobe already.
I told you a couple of weeks ago when he said, "Are you taking a case?" To which you and I replied, "Obviously, we're going for 12 days." And he was just going to buy all these clothes over there and bin them, apparently. Do you remember this?
Yeah, so good tactic.
But yesterday, it's just him and I, or Tuesday, sorry, just him and I, and he says, You definitely taking a case? I said, of course I'm taking. Why would I not take a case? Go, right. Are you taking a rucksack?
Hey, hold on. You phoned me and asked me the exact same thing. The other day and asked if I was taking a rucksack.
No, I did not.
Obviously, again, yes, I suppose I probably will. But What are you putting in your rucksack? I don't know. Like my phone charger, a book, a bottle of water.
I thought, sweet.
Why do you need such specific
pick mix?
A pick mix.
The pick mix.
You're
for the
61 years of age. Just, you don't need to know whether Mark and I are taking a rucksack. Just you do you. And
I want to be in the same sort
okay,
of trend.
Well, bring a rucksack.
Nah.
We'll get him a trunky, no one of the cases that he sits in and
I want a bum bag. No, like bags around the front.
Yeah, I can see you in that.
I think the cool kids wear it diagonally, don't they? Across their
I'm
arm
not
and under their
a
arm.
Rucksack. Who takes a rucksack to in Germany with them? You'd need to be off your rocker. What's the point of that?
It's a really crazy thing to do.
What, hold on. You put a charger in it? A big rucksack? Or a
jumper, bag? A jacket.
Why? It's sunny.
How do you know it won't rain?
Because he told me.
But anyway, he's got a point. I can imagine him with a rucksack.
No, of course not. I told you he wore my school bag to a golfing trip in Spain before. I told you that. my sixth year
turned
school
up
bag.
With a carrier bag.
Anyway, yeah. Right. How are you faring on this teaser then? We're looking for the last 8 non-Europeans to score in an Old Firm game, but they're no longer at the club. Sakala, Morelos, Arfield, Rogic, El Khadouri. 3 to get.
We're going, mate.
Go for it.
What you love?
Nothing.
Mark thinks Abada.
I don't think
it's wrong. It's not a ludicrous shout.
I know.
Right? It's just a sort of.
How's it wrong then?
Well, Israel play under UEFA's banner, don't they? So Scotland play Israel as part of like the Nations League and stuff. There are Israeli teams in the Champions League in years gone by. No,
I was only smirking when you suggested it because of this. I knew it was a grey area.
It's not.
I didn't know which way
it's
it would
not
fall.
Terribly wrong. You've come up with much worse answers
right, okay,
than that.
I'm quite
Abada's
happy
not
with
one
that
of them.
Bad answer. Okay. I've no other bad answers to back it up. Will you go anything?
Carter Vickers. Oh no, he's still at the club.
Has Aguirre's ever scored?
No.
I'm coming up with some good bad answers.
I think he was sent off in one in this time frame, but did get
sent. Where's Near Beaton from?
Oh,
Israel.
It's Kuzan, isn't it?
No.
Good.
Oh, somebody else then.
Oh,
who's the other
up.
One?
The other what?
Wasn't it Kuzan? Who was it?
We can get back to it. Let's hear from Motherwell boss Stuart Kettlewell. He was speaking today because early morning newspaper reports, I think the Mail, I saw it first, could be wrong, so don't hold that against me, suggesting that Celtic would look to sign Motherwell's Liam Kelly this summer. That is quite an interesting one, of course. He's Scotland international now, been at Motherwell for a number of years, started his career as a Rangers youth player, went to Livingston, down to QPR and so on. This is what the Motherwell manager had to say on it.
You'd possibly get a wee bit more information than what I have. That's certainly nothing that I've spoken to Liam about. I do genuinely speak to him on a daily basis. I've trusted Liam, and rightfully so. You look at his performances, you look at the numbers he bashes out every season, you look at his availability, all these different things, his leadership that has to go in there, how good a goalkeeper he is, not just with his feet but with his hands as well. I think he's top draw. So what wouldn't surprise me as a goalkeeper of his stature and his standing attracting interest. But again, Liam would be somebody that I would love to keep at the football club. I would like to retain him. But again, there's a number of factors that come into that. Could hopefully be a big summer for him potentially as well. And we obviously need to wait and see how that goes. But no, certainly interest from other clubs isn't something that's been on the agenda with.
What did you make of that Celtic link when you read it or heard it this morning?
I was surprised. Tell you the truth, Liam Kelly, I think he's been a good goalkeeper over the years. I don't think this has been his finest year, so that's why I was surprised that this is the year that he's been linked with a move to Celtic. Now it's going to be a huge position to fill when Joe Hart leaves. Celtic have had their problems in the past years trying to fill that position, so they need to get it right. But if I look at Liam Kelly's body of work, yes, it's been recognised internationally and he's found himself in that squad, so he can be pleased with that. But I think when you look at Motherwell's season and the goals that they've lost this season, 53 of them, and you can't obviously point that at the goalkeeper in the back four, but he's had a fair few, howlers within that. And there was calls, was it early in the season, that he should maybe be dropped as well, and we wondered how that would look, but he held on to his place. So I just think it's a surprising time for him to be linked when he's not been, and he's, at his peak, at his best. And I think you really need to be at your peak, at your best, if you're going to get moved to a club like Celtic or Rangers?
I think Mark covers that well. I think he's a decent goalkeeper. In fact, I think he's a very good goalkeeper and obviously international goalkeeper now. Celtic number one from Motherwell's number one, and Mark's right, he's not had his best season, but he's capable. He's a terrific goalkeeper, but honestly, I'd be surprised.
I suppose it depends what the goalkeeping picture looks like. We know Joe Hart will leave, so is it that Joe Hart's gone, there's still another number one to be identified, Scott Bain's still under contract, but is it that he's looking to go and play a bit more game time, and Liam Kelly comes in as part of that picture? I think this is what's difficult with goalkeepers, because the story isn't, as far as I can gather, Celtic target Liam Kelly to directly replace Joe Hart. But, and that, so that might change people's opinions on it. I mean, Segrist, goodness knows what's...
Yeah, and that is the issue. Because with Celtic, there has been such an outstanding goalkeeper in Joe Hart, I think, or outstanding as in who can you play, really, and Joe Hart's been the outlier on that, that Bain and Segrist and whoever else is there has just really been forgotten about. You know, no one ever really thinks of him really challenging Joe Hart. So now that he's out the equation, you're left with two there. Do you add a third in Kelly, who's had plenty of experience this year, plenty of game time behind him, he's recognised internationally, and hope the three of them can battle out? Or do you need an outstanding candidate, a number one, to come in and he's better? Now, it's never guaranteed that they will turn out that way, like Barkas did, but I still believe that's the model you need. You need someone who's, you know, head and shoulders above the other two to really, you know, carry you through the season. It's an incredibly hard position to fill. Depends what your remit is for a goalie. I joke about it all the time, but I like a goalie who can save things. Barkas wasn't that. You know, Joe Hart was, but Joe Hart's not good with his feet. Brendan Rodgers showed in the past that he likes goalkeepers with his feet. That's why, was it De Vries that came in?
Yeah.
But again, he wasn't particularly good at saving things. So that's how he found himself surplus to requirements. So it all depends what your manager, you know, Sir Liam Kelly, good with his feet, but I don't know if he's that outstanding number one.
Okay, let's leave it there. Can you name the last eight non-European players to score in an Old Firm game that are no longer at the club? Sakala, Morelos, Arfield, Rogic, El Khedouri, three to get.
I'm struggling here.
There's another, think along the lines of Tom Rogic, and we're going way back.
McDonald.
Yeah, Scott McDonald.
Yeah, that far back. Okay.
Now there's one from the sort of first Brendan Rodgers era. I think he represented France, funnily enough, when he was here at that point, but he has since gone on to full international honours.
And Cham.
Cham.
Levein Cham. And very much your era, Mark. The goal in question, March 2012. Nigeria would be the country that he represented. Still, I think he's still going. He's not, yeah, he's part of a fairly significant achievement down in England this season.
Oh, I don't know.
Sonny Aluko.
Oh,
still at Ipswich, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Aye, sure, aye, was Ipswich, well done. Aye.
Anyway, thank you very much to Mark and to Gordon. Tomorrow is your last chance to have your say ahead of this Old Firm game. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers and Philippe Clement, and I wonder what Hugh Keevans has got on his mind. Make sure you join us 6 o'clock tomorrow and stay right there. Comedians Chris Forbes and Cubby join Callum Gallagher next.